This, along with every episode of According to Flint, brought to you by Pendleton Whiskey. For more than a century, the Pendleton Roundup has defined what it means to be a cowboy. It also gave life to something equally renowned, a whiskey that captures that unique spirit in every bottle. A whiskey made with the finest northern grains and cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. A whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. That is Pendleton Whiskey. And that's true Western tradition. Pendleton Distillers, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Please drink responsibly. Since 1973, the art of engraving brings to life the artistry that Montana Silversmiths is known for and is fueled by a passion for the Western lifestyle. Montana Silversmiths' buckles and jewelry are more than accessories. They are stories. Stories of moments and memories shared through the giving, receiving, and earning of Montana Silversmiths' buckles and jewelry. Celebrate what matters with Montana Silversmiths. Well, welcome to episode number 91 of According to Flint, and happy to welcome, waiting for the walk-up song, he wants to be a baller. I know that song. He is the vice president of competition and judging for the professional bull riders. Lots to talk about. Probably been called Cody's boy his entire life. You want to be a baller. That's your walk-up song. You requested that, right?
I did. Just so that everyone knows.
Hey, but you know what we haven't talked about in a long time? You used to be a baller. I remember your dad would come to events and tell us stories and show us videos of you playing football and basketball. You ended up, I would guess, looking at you, if I had to make a guess, that you would have gone to college to play football, but you actually played basketball, right?
Correct. Correct. Yeah, upon contrary belief, that the being short and white thing doesn't fit real well in the basketball world. And now I'm fat. So short, white, and fat really doesn't.
Well, not now. Do you play ever? Do you still play a little?
Some. They play pickup ball here local, and I'll go play in that. And then a couple years ago, some young kids from one of the town that I grew up in, they called me up and wanted me to play City League in Wichita Falls. So I played City League a few years ago, and it was a good time.
What are you? How old are you right now?
37.
You are? How'd that happen? Holy cow.
Man, it happened just about as fast as the hair on the back of your head went out.
Yeah, it did. I was thinking up till I was about 37, I played a lot. I played a lot in my 20s. Anyway, see, but I could jump. Could you jump? Were you a jumper?
I could jump. I couldn't jump. Like, I wasn't like a dunker or anything, but like, I could jump. My idea was I was fast though. Like,
yeah,
that's what made me the money.
We could. Well, good to know. We could just talk basketball and football the whole, but we won't. You're kind of head of competition and judging. So for people watching, I don't know. I wanted to do this because I think there's some big things. I don't know that people understand PBR is always striving. It's not a plateau organization. It's not a, hey, we're good here. We don't do it that way. Don't do anything different. But there needs to be some checks and balances as well. I imagine now dealing with you as we do every other day on meetings, your role in competition, for instance, Your role is kind of a checks and balances, making sure bull riding's bull riding and everything's good, right?
100%. It's I compare it to you're almost like a fire extinguisher. So you make all the plans in advance, but then once the show is rolling, you're really just sitting over on the side making sure that everything is going as planned.
How much communication do you have with the riders, keeping them updated and them keeping you updated?
From a departmental standpoint, we talk to them every day. I have two employees that work with me that are the front, just the complete front line, you know, the they're the direct line between the riders and the competition department. And then I serve it as well. So whatever questions they can't answer, that's when I get called in. But it's every day, all day. There's not a moment in time that the phone is not available for the riders, and there's not a moment in time that it doesn't ring ever.
Well, if it rings and it's somebody cool, we're going to answer it on the air.
100%, 100%.
So Jack Holmberg, Jack's with you. Who else?
Ruby
Ruby.
DeGrado.
That's, I thought it was Ruby. See, I almost called her Ruby Beltramo, but it's DeGrado now. And I do know that they, you know, Jack always has the day sheets and Ruby always deals with, you know, if we need autograph signings or organizing that. There is a lot. How would you explain to somebody? Because I think people compare it to rodeo, which it should be. We all come from rodeo.
It's
But
Western sports.
on the administrative level, though, I knew it for years, and now that I'm ingrained in it, there's just a lot. If a rider were to call you right now, if Dalton Castle was to phone you right now, what are some things what would it be?
I
Depends.
mean, you hate to say that they're calling to complain, but normally that's what we field is complaints. I feel like the guys are pretty good about not complaining on just a supremely consistent basis. But if Dalton was calling me, he would probably be calling me wondering, not now with one event left in the season, he's probably calling wondering, with the way that the point structure went for the season and them getting to count 20, their best 20 out of 23 events, he's probably calling wondering if there's any way that he can get his ranking. Like, is it going to shuffle before world finals, you know, in that matter? Because he's in contention for a world title. He's probably wondering if all those points that he's seeing are going to count towards his end game.
So
That would be my guess.
when we had regular season events, 23, you know, people say since our season kind of shifted to one solid season, people have said there's just way less events. There really isn't, is there?
Oh, no, it's condensed down and it is an absolute grinder for these guys. But with the opportunities that they're given, I don't know of any bull rider that's out there in the world who is riding for a living, who can look at a weekend and say, the weekend that they can win 50,000, and say, man, it's too much that we're going to have to go to this event this weekend because it's just too hard, because it's hard,
It
but
is
you
hard.
also get the chance to win 50,000, and there's nowhere else that you can do that.
Got to thinking about it. You know, during COVID, Calgary Stampede went back to 50,000 instead of 100. They pay more in the rounds and stuff. But the big check moment at the Calgary Stampede, we have a 2-day event that pays, well, it's Canadian 50,000.
Correct.
Plus they take taxes out of it. It's probably 27 for an American, or 30. Call it 30. So on a 2-day
30.
event, a guy, hey, let's go back a few days as we record this. We had four perfs in 5 days out on the West Coast, which is a grind. I think that needs to be adjusted too much at the end of a season, and I think that will be. I'm going to speak up and say
Agreed.
we'll double up somewhere else. Yeah.
It's been discussed the last 2 years, so
Yeah.
it's a revolving door.
Yeah. Alan DeSouza wins Everett, Washington, and wins Tacoma, Washington. So in 5 days, he won like $106,000.
106K.
We don't,
106 now.
we're starting to talk about money, but we never have. I don't know that people have realized that because PBR has always said, here's the point system. That's what wins you the world title, is points. But the
Yeah.
money, we're starting to talk about it more because it's becoming more significant. And I think people need to see what these guys are making, not just the points they're earning.
Completely agree. Completely agree. And it's something, it's and like just taking the PBR website at the moment, when they're looking at when those guys when a fan is or a critiquer, a critic, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call. And when they're looking at that money, they're looking at UTB money right now.
Right.
That doesn't even include the money that potential that particular individual made during teams through their endorsements, et cetera. And, I mean, we've got guys, we've got more than one guy right now that has made over half a million, maybe over 600, 700,000. I mean, I'm not going to get quoted on it, but we have more guys than one that have done that. And that's been since, like, it hasn't even been a year yet. We still got the World Finals to go.
You say there's 23 regular season events. Their best 20 are counted. They do not designate their best 20. It's like high school rodeo. It's Montana. You took your best seven or whatever. So, but they, in turn, they can take three of them off, except for those three majors. Am I right on that?
Yes, yeah, so we made a deal at before the season started that with the season being condensed, but still the demand being as high as it was, that we were going to let the guys have three excused absences of their choice. Because what we had in place before was that if they were accepting a qualification to the tour, we were expecting them to be on tour. It was like a contract, and it wasn't a contract where they got paid where they got paid for it, but it was definitely, but they were getting, the contract was giving them the opportunity to compete for levels of money that they were not going to get to compete for anywhere else. And with television involved, we wanted to make sure that the absolute best bull riders in the world were going to be there.
So if you choose to take those three off, well, that's your 20 then. That's
Yeah,
and that's what
exactly.
Dalton was looking at.
Right. And I'm sure that's what, theoretically, that's
Just
what he would be.
theoretically. Yeah, that's not what we made that up.
Yeah.
So
No.
yeah.
No. He's been banged up a couple times this year to where he's had to miss some events. So I would venture to say, I mean, just because I don't have it right in front of me, I look at it every day, but I don't know if after Louisville he'll have 20 events to his
Right.
name.
Yeah, good point. All your points are good. Don't get me wrong, but that was a
Oh,
good
hey,
point.
there. I got more. I got so many points.
Here's what I we have a we have you on some meetings every week to update, and one that I think has been interesting this year that you keep track of is comparing riding percentage across the board on the Unleash the Beast tour.
Yes.
And I don't know how it looks right now. I know as the season goes, you get into April and some 3-day events, it tends to drop off. You start bringing bulls that are trying to make it to win a world title. They're getting on better bulls. But the riding percentage was up this year.
Yeah, it's gone up. It's not, I wouldn't consider it a just a significant increase. You know, I would a 10% increase would be just uber significant for in my eyes. Like, I mean, but has definitely gone up multiples in one. So I would say it's probably up 3 or 4% from last year.
What I like, what I consider, real refreshing is we got a bunch of young American riders, and I'm not, that's just
Oh,
the
hey.
truth. There's no, we got Brazilian riders,
Sure.
Australian riders. There's some young American riders that are riding things that we haven't had young guys riding in a while. That's a good bunch.
It's very over the past 30, I mean, PBR has been around for over 30 years now. Looking at it, very seldom do you have multiple teenagers on tour that are succeeding. You know, I mean, the JW Harts, Chris Shivers, they all didn't come at the same time. You know, those were over time. But right now, there's four or five. Shoot, we saw a new kid, 18-year-old, fresh 18-year-old, almost. I mean, he's not even half a second away from winning Tacoma.
And should have.
And should have.
That's what we call shit in the bed right there. Oh, he just kind of waited for the whistle blow, and he just.
Oh, he got it. You could just. I mean, could you imagine? You're an 18-year-old kid. You've been watching the PBR your entire life. It's like watching the NFL and getting thrown into a game out of high school. He's probably still in high school. And he's about to win the first premier or second premier series event he's ever gone to, because he got to go to Everett right 2 days before. And he's about to win it, and he knows he's going to win it. I mean, I get excited when I know that I'm going to win at like a game of darts or something. Like when I'm throwing that last dart, and all I got to do is hit the deal. I'm like, yeah, I'm fired up. I get nervous.
You could see
him shooting that.
He was going, oh, and he went, oh, $50,000.
50 G's.
Damn it. To take back to Molalla, Oregon.
can't even buy beer.
Yeah, I saw Shane Scott. Shane Scott's his name, I believe. I hope he has a great future. He looks great.
It looks like it. And then our world number three is an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah. Is Cassio Diaz considered a rookie? Or no? He is a rookie.
Unfortunately for all the other rookies, he is considered a rookie.
He's been in I wouldn't call it a slump. I think he's hurting worse than he lets on.
He's extremely tough. You got to really watch the camera close when he's leaving the arena to see that he's got something there, but he's definitely been beat on.
I've said this on I do a live broadcast every Tuesday, by the way, if you want to really get the scoop, that's the show. And I think I've said it on there, not to get too deep into this, but he is, as far as a new Brazilian bull rider that really speaks no English, I think in that category of rider, new Brazilian, no English, probably the most popular one of those that I've ever seen.
Man.
Ever. You just, besides, you know, Adriano and Paulo Crimber were the first two kind of that came, so they were popular. But in this era, there's something lovable about Cassio Diaz. That crowd loves it.
And I just, he loves, it's contagious. Whenever guys, it's their job and they treat it like their job and they're professionals at elite level professionals, but whenever they still love the game, it's so evident. And he loves riding bulls so much that he hasn't missed a single event.
Yeah.
He hasn't taken a single excused absence. Maybe he should.
Maybe he should have. Yeah.
But yeah, I think he's going to take his week off during VT finals.
I would advise him take this weekend off. If it were, I don't know. That's tough. That's strong for me to say.
I would too. I mean, me personally, I probably would. But then I look at it and I'm like, yeah, he could also go win 50,000 and increase his lead going into an event when he knows that everybody else is also beat up.
Yeah, true. That's true.
I've thought about it plenty of times.
He loves bull riding and he loves really big chews. He has a huge chew.
He does. And suspenders.
Suspenders. Gary, who's he model it after?
Gary Tool.
Gary Tool. That's right. He told us. He showed us on his phone. He couldn't say it, but he showed us. Also, and I'll whiz through this a little bit, but you oversee judging. So you oversee the seminars, certification of judges. I hope people know we don't just pull them off the street. That they go through a lot of stuff. The thing, it's a little bit like NFL refs, our judges. It's amazing how much they're right, that they are correct. Oh, always amazes me. Like, well, they 7.83 seconds. Let's review it. 7.84 seconds. Overall, pretty good.
Oh, they're getting good. They've gotten extremely good, and they're just getting better. I feel like myself, Jack, Alan Jordan, our head judge during teams, We've taken a very in with teams. It felt like we had to take stride. I mean, you're at the premier level, you always want to get better, but with teams and the amount of money that's invested in teams, you sure wanted to make sure that we were getting calls right, because it affected more than just that rider or that stock contract or whatever the case may be on a completely different level. So the guys are getting better, and they get plenty of chewings,
Yeah.
and they take it extremely well. And just like you said, they're right a lot more than everyone thinks. I gotta steal it for a second and say, everyone, I've seen the social media. I don't have it, but I look at it because I'm up with the times a little bit. And the whole John Krimber, Eduardo Aparecido, well, there was no replay deal that we had from Everett. What was the issue with that? Went back, talked to them specifically. They were very adamant about the times. Went back and watched them, reviewed it, retimed them. They were exactly right. Like
Oh.
they were so right that I felt bad that I was in an that I was even in an email chain telling them how stupid they were. And
Hey,
so,
it's easy at home. It's
oh, it's
really
easy at
easy.
home.
It's so
It's
easy.
easy at home, and you just got to be ready to apologize. And
Wait.
it tastes bad, but I did. I
Wait,
apologized.
you tell people they're stupid? Where did you inherit that from? That's crazy. That's this guy. You're stupid. You're stupid. Hey, real quick, the teams, first of all, at the very beginning of the UTB season, riding percentage was much higher. Yes, guys get beat up, but I contribute a lot of that coming out of teams where those guys have guidance every day. I think those riding percentages were up coming out of teams. That's kind of what I
Agreed.
saw.
No, it definitely were, and that's, the whole rider development initiative that we have rolling right now. It's leaned heavily on teams, and it's like the data that we're receiving from the outcome of teams and the guys that are going, it's inevitable. Those guys, the more that they are around those coaches and getting to live that and constantly communicate, the better they're getting.
Why does it take so much, and now teams that they're, I wouldn't say they're forced into it, they're immersed in it now. Why does it take so much for so many Cowboys bull riders to really seek out the help of someone, of a world champion, or is do they feel like they can't? Well, we hesitate with it.
I really have no idea. It bothers me, to be real honest, because I've never seen an elite athlete in other sports not have some sort of system that they go to improve their game at all times. And it you I would sure think that the guys that are out there, especially the guys that are under 15th in the world down to 300th that own a bull rope that go to the Touring Pros or the Velocities, I would wish that those guys would reach out to a teams coach or a PBR certified coach, which we have some. And I receive phone calls on a monthly basis on people wanting to get into the sport. Never get a call from any guys that are members that want to get better. It's
Okay,
weird.
let's transition. You did a good segue. There's a website, PBREVO, which stands for.
PBR Evolution.
Okay, you talked about rider development. And I'm assuming we can talk about this, right? It's out there. So,
100%. There's no secrets, man.
yeah, we PBR is big right now, has a big initiative in rider development. Check me if I'm wrong. For the most part, rodeo people, across the board, not just bull riders, pretty much come from this. They grow up on a ranch. They're around animals. If we keep depending on just those kids, we're going to run out of kids because that population is decreasing.
We're gonna run out of them. We would run out of them with the level of expansion that we have.
Right, right. So what is, give me a 30,000 foot view of PBRevo.com. If I were to go on there, what am I giving you and what are you giving me?
Okay. So if you were to go on there first, the first thing it's going to ask you to create a profile. The movement through the website itself right now, because we are at the beginning stages of it, it's much easier to navigate once you have a profile. The profile that you'd be giving it's similar to a Facebook profile, except there's physical details that you're given given how tall you are, how much you weigh, what hand do you ride with, how old are you a PBR member or not? And then like career, you know, like if you want to, you can add career milestones to it if you want. I mean, it's really serving as a almost Zillow, if everyone out there, or realtor.com, you know, when you're looking for a house and you're putting in the specifics that you want on your filter, it's serving as that for the PBR team's coaches. They're going on there. They're looking, if I'm a coach of a team and I need to find a left-hander to fill my seventh protected roster spot or a practice spot or an up-and-comer that I want to keep an eye on, and I want to search guys between the ages of 18 and 22 that are left-handed, that are a PBR member or not, that are under 6 foot.
You filter it
all out, and it'll shoot you back. Right now, there's over 1,400 profiles on it, and we're just at the beginning stages, and we don't have 1,400 PBR members. So it's gaining some ground. There's virtual curriculum on there that can help you out. There's the little podcast that we got going. That's just really it's a bull riding based podcast it's guys talking about, you know, whether it's legends of the sport or new and up and comers, they're just talking bull riding and they're talking about maybe how they did it or how guys are riding right now and the difference between, you know, two different organizations, whatever the case may be. That's there. There's lots of good things. There's a forum. There's forums for events. There's a news feed, kind of like your Facebook style news feed. And you can upload videos to your profile of you riding, practicing, what events you're going to, what events you went to, how you did at those events, and just serves as your bull riding profile.
It's all new. Like we're finally catching up. I mean, every sport has some sort of academy or place to go. I think I told you, I turned a kid, sent him the info, and he put his profile in. He's and this is, again, segueing to another topic. He's a former Montana State University, maybe he watches this podcast, former Montana State University running back. He was one of those little 5'9", 185-pound power running backs. Now he's 5'9", 160 pounds, and wants to be a bull rider. He's getting some help, but he put his profile in. Now, we're going after other athletes, right? I mean, the goal is to
100%.
Some wrestlers. There's gymnasts, wrestlers. Why not? Hey, we did it with a 16-year-old soccer player, right? Jose Vitor Lemmy, right?
Yeah, there are so many that the sport of bull riding is such a rewarding sport, and it's such there is a criteria that you have to meet to be able to perform at the highest level of this, or to perform period really. And we want you, but we also, I make it very clear on the recruitment and outreach situation, we don't want you to just come get on a bull to get on a bull. We want you to understand that bull riding can be a career If you want it to be a career, all you have to do is, all you have to do is plenty of stuff. But you have to be, you have to understand the danger that's associated with it, the potential of death. You have to be like McBride said that on my podcast the other day. He said he was when he was 14, he the fear of death was no longer like he accepted that death was available for you at all times in the sport. And I'm like, gosh, that's a young age to be that, but that's what he wanted. And if you're 22 years old or 19 or 16 and you don't know what you want to do and you meet the physical requirements to do this, or you can figure out a way to meet those physical requirements, and this is something, then we're going to help, we're going to help point you in the right direction to get you to where you have potential success.
You can say the name of your podcast on here. What's your podcast?
PBR Evo's the bullshit.
Oh, good name.
Yeah.
Can we put that on a shirt? Like,
They we partnered up with Sequel, who has helped us develop the website, and they're helping me with the ins and outs of the podcast, because I'm not the most tech savvy fella out there, if you can't tell by the accent. Hey, it's all good. I know you did. I know you didn't. You didn't even hook up that microphone.
I did not. As a matter of fact, I got a 25-year-old kid right here that does it all,
That
right?
the guys that come up to help me, but yep, I got a decade on them.
But we have, so if you turn people to certain where they say, I really want some help, we have certified coaches now that are certified by PBR and they are available for that. How's that working?
Yes, so we had our first last year during right after World Finals, we had a PBR certified coaches clinic. I called a bunch of guys, got some commitments from quite a few of them, had them come down, and then the board of directors for that was the original eight coaches from the PBR teams, and they came down, and we just wanted to make sure that the fundamentals that were being taught to, whether it be kids or up and comers or whatever the case may be, that those fundamentals were the right ones, and that we're going to give them the best opportunity for success. So we had these guys come in, gave the clinic. They got together, certified these guys, and now whenever someone calls the PBR office and talks to Jack or Ruby or myself, that's where we direct them. There's six of them, and if you can't get a hold of one of the PBR team's coaches on your own to help you out, yeah, I wouldn't advise doing it during season because they're busy. That's their job. But outside of season, if you can't get a hold of them guys, holler at us and we'll get you pointed to one of
Give
those
me a,
six.
give me two or three names just for so we
Joe Frost, JW Harris,
Cody
Miles
Teal?
Sankey,
Is Cody Teal?
Cody Teal. Cody Teal came, and he's still competing, but
Yeah.
Cody Teal came. Yeah, I'll just tell you all of them. Cody Teal, Austin Meyer, JW Harris, Joe Frost, Lyle Sankey, Corey McFadden.
Oh, Corey.
And if everybody hasn't noticed Corey McFadden on tour, killing it, I can tell y'all who taught him.
Yeah, Corey.
But if I have to tell you, you're really stupid.
And his riding percentage increased, didn't it? Went up.
He got to perform on teams a little bit last year, on a small capacity, and then and was going to some velocities, and now he's a staple on tour.
Yeah, solid. We're very solid.
Yeah.
Corey was solid. Corey, all Corey, I always
Hey,
tell, make
Corey
fun
Mack
of
was it.
Corey McFadden. I always say, all you ever did was ride a little yellow jacket every time. Just rode a little yellow jacket. Remember?
Hey,
He just.
we showed his videos at the clinic, because we were showing like fundamental deals, and we showed those videos of him riding them, and he was so correct. It was impressive. You didn't realize how good he was.
Yeah.
Or at least I didn't. I was younger then, but yeah, he could get it.
Am I wrong in saying that I think I saw him ride Little Yellow Jacket at a midweek Thursday night touring pro event in Pueblo, Colorado, maybe, and just rode Little Yellow Jacket on a Thursday night? Just
That was when we used to do, was it when we did Pueblo and Denver? Just
in Denver
boom.
was Monday,
Or
Tuesday went. New York would end
right.
Sunday. We do Denver Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Pueblo Thursday, and then like go to Chicago on a Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, it was crazy. That's why my knees hurt right now. So
You moved around an awful lot.
which rider was texting you? How's
Uh,
that?
it was J it was Jack,
Oh, it's Jack.
actually.
Okay.
Yep, it was Jack.
Before I let you go, I still contend. I don't even have to contend. We don't have less bull riders in the country. They just have a lot
No.
more. They're just spread out. It used to be the PBR guys also rodeoed, and so it was a pool of guys. And the perception was, man, we had a lot more good ones last 25 years ago. Not true. There's a lot of bull riders right now. They just have a lot of places to go.
Absolutely. The PBR, I feel like on the PBR end of things, the amount of opportunities that we provide for guys is one, it's unmatched, and that's not a guess. That's a fact. And if anyone tries to tell anyone different, they're lying, because we have multiple events every weekend that have over 10,000 added, some that have over 100,000. The tour events have over 100,000. The velocities have over 20, 20 or more. And then the touring pros, we have a requirement of at least 10, unless it's during the week. And if anyone tells you different, that, and you can do, realistically, you could do both if you wanted. Why? If a rodeo guy wants to go to a velocity on a Friday, and there's a velocity on a Friday, he can go and he can enter open. He doesn't even have to buy his membership. He can give it a take, get a taste and try it. And if he wins something, we'll take his membership out of his winnings, and we'll front that at that moment. But yeah, the opportunities are unbelievable out there.
I was going to bring this up when we were talking about your dad. You're stupid. You're stupid. And everybody talked about Cody Lambert and Crouchy, and we know who's in there. Like, I've always known. I've had a good relationship with him. One cool thing about watching the PBR team stuff, I don't know that I've ever seen your dad so happy. And I think it's being around those kids, helping them. I always hoped that my behind the shoots TV commentating was with his team, because I enjoyed just standing 3 feet from him and listening to him and seeing him smile. And it's pretty cool to see, isn't it?
Oh gosh. I'll tell you, the teams has been such a blessing to our family. My dad, it's his dream job. It's his actual dream job. I've heard him say it. And he loves it so much, but I have a love for it in a different way, because growing up, I grew up in a Christian-based household. But I wasn't an avid churchgoer or anything, but my dad, the teams has opened my dad's eyes in a different way, and he's found the pure joy out of bull riding on a level that I don't think that he had ever had. And now God is so present in our lives, in his life, in our family's life, here at the ranch or whatever. God's so present now that I couldn't be more thankful for teams, because I know where that man's going when he's gone, and it's comforting.
Yeah, nice. Well, listen, I'll probably see you later today on
No doubt, no
a
doubt
call.
about it.
I appreciate your help with everything in my transition. I've really come to respect, always respected what you do, but watching your daily stuff. And I appreciate this. This is fun. We needed to talk about this. This is it's a lot of opportunities out there.
Whew. I will. Well, oh, plenty, plenty. Yeah, just like you said with Alan. Alan It made 106,000 in 5 days. And if you go look at around the world standing somewhere else, they had 106,000 on the year.
That's right. Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Had to get that in there.
Thanks, man.